Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India.
The fact of life. What is the fact of life? What is the fact of life after life? Do we have to keep coming back and doing this all over again? This karma, do we have to keep experiencing it? Because he said, well, if we're going to have to keep doing it, then we better be really careful. But how do we make sure that we have a life after death? Or do we have a life after death? And how do we deal with this whole cycle? And the last thing he said that I loved, he said, is it all just cause and effect? And we're all sort of victims of this cause and effect that we don't have free will over. You are the cause. Yes, there's cause and effect, but we're not victims of that. We're the creators of that. It's like, I have here a glass of water, right? So, karma means action. That is what we'll call cause. It's the action. The karmic fruits are the effect of that action. Now, if I take this water and I pour it, oh my, sorry. Well, the cause was me pouring water. The effect is my leg is all wet. Feels nice in this weather. It would have felt not so nice a few months ago. But I'm not a victim of that. I did it. Now, some of the actions may not seem like they're so direct. Maybe I'm sitting here. I didn't pour the water on me, but as I'm sitting here, let's say it's the rainy season, and suddenly my roof starts to leak, and then my leg is wet because the roof is leaking. So the effect is still the wet leg. And the cause, we might say, well, I'm just a victim. Matlab, I was just sitting here. But if I go back enough, I'll see, I remember that contractor who came. He gave me a bill for 5 lakhs, but I decided that I really only wanted to pay him 2 lakhs. So from the beginning, I started cutting everything. As we went along the way, I just kept cutting his bill and only giving him, you know, a third of what he asked for. So naturally, the guy did a sloppy job. Naturally, my roof now leaks. Naturally, I am now wet. We're still not victims. But there's a third aspect. The third aspect is I hired a great contractor. I paid him beautifully. He did a wonderful job. But at the same time that it was raining, there was an earthquake. And in the earthquake, the roof cracked. And as the roof cracked, the rain came down. And I got wet. Well, that isn't anything that I did, per se. But karma gives us, the fruit of karma gives us, not only the immediate or short-term fruits. We've got three aspects of karma. I won't go into the details of all of it now, but we've got our long-term karma, short-term karma, immediate karma. So we've dealt with immediate, we've dealt with short-term. But at some point in my past, some action connected like a thread. They're not individual cause-effect. It's not like one boomerang after another. We're talking about threads in a tapestry. My life is a tapestry. And the tapestry is made up of threads. Some threads are those I've woven right now, like pouring water on my clothes. Or saying something mean to someone else. If you want to watch, you know, immediate karma, go home and be mean to your spouse. You'll enjoy a night on the couch. Immediate karma. Right? I mean, you could almost plan it in advance. But then we've got these threads that have been woven from earlier this life, past lives that ended up making us be born in a certain situation in this life that was most conducive to our awakening. And that's the key point, is karma is not punitive. It's not about rewards and punishments, good and bad. It's, on the one hand, about simple, natural effect. You plant an apple seed, you get an apple tree. It's neither good nor bad. It just is. But then we've also got us receiving that which we need in this moment to walk closer to our destination. God realization, self realization, enlightenment, awakening, moksha, whatever word you use. So most importantly, you are not the victim. That's the key. The second piece, though, is what you do right now. I always say today is the pre of that which is predestined for you tomorrow. When we think of destiny, we think about it as though somehow it were written thousands of years ago somewhere in the sky. Yeah, things are predetermined because we've predetermined them. If I don't study for an exam and I go out and get drunk the night before and stay awake all night and I'm hungover, you could say it's pretty predestined that I'm going to fail that exam. Not because God is after me or doesn't love me or my stars aren't in the right place, but because I actually created the pre of my destiny of failing that exam. Our next life is based on that which we're doing now. Now is the pre of later this life and next life. But lastly, here's the piece. When you say, you know, do we have to keep doing it? Well, we're told that ultimately the goal is moksha, freedom from this cycle of birth and death. And yet, it's not the body that keeps us stuck. It's the mind. And so the idea that simply by dropping the body, suddenly you would have moksha, that's not true. Until we are free in the mind, we'll just keep getting new bodies. The ultimate goal is freedom in the mind, freedom from the mind. That's the aim. is how do I get free of the games of my mind? The anger, the grudges, the unfulfillable expectations, the attachments, the ignorance, the identification, the false identification with the body, with my role. When I get free of that, then the body just becomes a gift. Then we're no longer looking to be free of it. Then the body is just a gift to be able to interact with all of this beautiful creation. So it's no longer a burden. It's a gift. So don't worry about having to keep doing it. You will have to keep doing it if you don't free yourself in the mind. And once you free yourself in the mind, you're free right now. So worry about now. And then tomorrow will take care of itself. And after you die, it'll take care of itself. But if you don't take care of the mind now, you're already in hell. You don't have to wait for death to go to hell. You're already in hell. If you're in the hell of your own grudges and your own jealousy and your own games, well, you're living in hell anyway. So we create heaven right here, right now.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me.
We come across so many difficulties and have our responsibilities for our family. How can we go for salvation? Well, first of all, in Sanatan Dharma, in the Hindu tradition, we don't actually talk about salvation. We talk about liberation. Salvation implies that we have to be saved, as though somehow we are damned or not saved. And we don't believe that. We don't need to be saved from anything. We need to be liberated, freed. And we need to be freed not from our challenges and difficulties and responsibilities, as the questioner has put up, like they were the barriers to liberation. What we need to be freed from is the ignorance in our own mind. And so fulfilling our responsibilities, whether to family, to the community, to the world, this goes hand in hand with liberation. This isn't something that keeps it farther from us. In the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagwan Krishna is so clear that the way to liberation is through fulfillment of our dharma, through fulfillment of our duties. So yeah, we all have a lot of responsibilities. Some of us to families, some in jobs, some to communities in different ways. Most of us have some mix of them. Some family duty, some job duties, some community, some to the world. We also have a duty to ourself, and that is to find, experience the truth of who you are. And that's just as important a duty as the duties that we have to others. But they actually go together. The dilemma is that so many of us feel that they are separate, and then we become in a situation where it's like, I'm rushing through my duties to my family, or I'm rushing through my duties in the community so that I can do what I think I need to attain, she says, salvation, we say liberation, as though somehow my worldly duties are things to be pushed aside so I can have liberation. No. Whether it's the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, whether it's the teachings of the Upanishads, whether it's the Puranas, whatever scripture you go to, it's full of householders, living householder lives mostly. Even the divine embodiments, the divine incarnations on earth, whether it's Bhagwan Krishna, Bhagwan Ram, mostly it's those living householder lives, either already God or attaining liberation, attaining enlightenment. So there's nothing in our scriptures that says thou shalt push away all of thy responsibilities in order to attain liberation. It's all about thou shalt fulfill thy duties. And through that fulfillment, as you realize you are not the doer, as you realize that you are just an instrument in God's hands, as you realize that those you serve are not separate from you, in that fulfillment of your duty, we attain liberation. So don't think of it as, you know, a hobby or something that you just do in the evenings and the weekends when you're free from some other responsibilities. Think about every minute and every moment as you walking toward liberation, walking toward awakening, walking toward enlightenment. Through this fulfillment of duties, through realizing I'm not the doer, God is the doer. I'm just a vehicle through which doing is happening. And we surrender fully and completely to the divine. And in that surrender, that's when we attain liberation. When we finally get free of the mind and surrender it fully to God, that's when there's liberation. So it's through the duties. And yeah, of course there's challenges. If you read any of the scriptures, the epics, go through the Mahabharata, or even go through the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. It's full of all of the stories in it, are all stories of challenges, difficulties, trials, tribulations. But then at the end of most of the chapters, whoever that chapter is about, most of the chapters end with, and then they attained liberation and merged into God. So it's all of these beautiful chapters and stories of different beings going through different challenges and ultimately attaining liberation. So whether we look at something as big as the Bhagavatam or something as concise as the Bhagavad Gita, or those in between, the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, it's all about challenges. I'm not by any means an expert in all of the scriptures, but I've never heard of anyone, any story of the one who just lay on the beach all day and attained liberation. I've never heard of it. I don't think there is one. The one who abandoned all of their duties, all their responsibilities, left everyone behind to suffer, and then attained liberation. I've never heard of that Purana. They're all full of challenges, full of struggles. And remember, when we're telling the story of God on earth, when Bhagwan Vishnu comes onto earth as Bhagwan Krishna, as Bhagwan Ram, well, clearly, he could do it however he wanted. When Shankar Bhagwan is here, in form, on earth, clearly he could write the story however he wants. But all of the stories are stories of struggle and challenge. In many cases, bachpan se. When you look at Bhagwan Krishna's childhood, you look at Prahlad's childhood, even from birth, and we're given these stories, I think, so that no matter what's going on in our lives, most of us can say, well, at least I didn't have people trying to kill me before I was 5 or 6 years old. At least my own father didn't try to drown me, or my own uncle didn't try to slaughter me. Right? What most of us are going through is somewhat more mild than that. And so we're able to look at these scriptural stories and realize, okay, so even when God is on earth, here's what it looks like. And that's when we realize, yeah, challenges and struggles are part of the package. And our liberation is something we attain through that, in doing our best, fully, sincerely, while we surrender fully and recognize we're just an instrument.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Alec Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
It may be simple, but it's not easy. And the reason that we keep doing things that we know are not right, number one, habits. Habits may be physical, they may be chemical. Smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol, people may really want to quit. But the chemistry of the body makes it difficult. Yes, of course, they still can and must. But nonetheless, there's a chemical, a physiologic push to do it. Then we have more subtle layers of patterning, what we call sanskaras, or neural habits. Things like losing your temper. I may claim and pledge I'm never going to lose my temper. And then I do. Well, it's not physiological. It's not that I'm craving a fix. But it's that my brain, quite literally, has been trained through these impressions, through sanskaras, through my habits, to lose my temper. Every time you lose your temper, you actually make the groove deeper. And it's a very interesting place where Western psychology and Eastern psychology diverge. In the West, there's a whole sense of, I have to get it out. If I'm angry, I should get my anger out. They're now realizing that doesn't work so well, but there's been decades and decades and decades and decades and decades of theory of psychology around get your anger out. Punching bags, pillows, all sorts of things, baseball bats. As though somehow if you just beat a punching bag enough times, you wouldn't be angry anymore. Eastern psychology, and now the West is also realizing this, says actually, the more I hit a punching bag or a pillow, the deeper my sanskara of throwing temper tantrums gets. And so I'm actually, it's not punching bag or human. Obviously, in that case, better to hit a punching bag. But it's every time I hit a punching bag, that sanskara goes deeper and deeper, and I actually end up more likely to lose my temper at other times as well. So another reason that we do things that we know are wrong is we've laid a sanskara. We lay sanskaras, habits of cheating, of lying. We may say, I'm going to tell the truth. But if you've developed a habit of lying, it becomes really hard. You forget it's lying. I've actually joked many times that I believe that you could take the vast majority of people in India and hook them up to lie detector tests, and they would pass while telling a lie. Because see, what a lie detector test tests, obviously the machine has no idea what's truth or not. What it picks up is what's called the galvanic skin response, meaning my blood pressure, the little bit of moisture that comes on my skin when I get nervous, the temperature that rises when I get nervous. So actually what the machine tests is my nervousness in telling a lie. And it's so subtle that it picks it up. But the dilemma here, and not only here, but it seems to me more here than other places, is that telling what we call white lies has become such a part of the culture that even though we know in theory it's wrong, we learn yam and niyam, we learn satya, we should speak the truth. And yet, how many times are you supposed to meet someone? You're running late, the mobile rings while you're getting dressed, and you pick it up and you say, Hamrasta pahe jamme fasue. Now, I don't actually even think that most people realize that that's lying. I mean, if you say to someone, but you lied, it's become such a deep sanskara that we don't even realize when we're doing it. And it's so common. So that's another reason that we do it. Is we literally just, we do it without even thinking. And the last reason that we do it is because what we want from what we're doing, even though we know it's wrong, in that moment, we want it more than we want to do the right thing. And that tends to fall into categories like hedonism, decadence, meaning I'm living only for this moment. So maybe I'm having an affair on my spouse, let's say, cheating on the spouse. Well, I would imagine that most people who are cheating every day say, I'm going to break it off today. I know it's wrong. I'm going to break it off. And then in the heat of that moment, in the passion of that moment, the desire, the sensual desire, takes over, and the mind says, Chalo jaake Ganga ji mein snan karenge aaj to yehi kar de. Because what we want in that moment is stronger than wanting to do the right thing. Now, first of all, we need to know that those are not sins that Ganga washes away. What Ganga does is purify us in such a way that we become different. It's not a sense of do a sin, bathe in Ganga, do a sin, bathe in Ganga. She doesn't wash those away. She washes away the ignorance in our mind that makes us sin. And so if we emerge from her waters truly transformed, well then, unki kripa se purane file band ho jate. But not if you walk out and you open them again. So in terms of the second question of how to stop. The first part is simply being mindful. In every moment, being mindful. Not allowing yourself to get swept up by a habit, whether a physical habit, a physiologic habit, or a sanskara. the more mindful we are, the less we run on autopilot. Most people who smoke cigarettes will tell you that they are halfway through a cigarette before they even realize they're smoking. That they'll say they're going to quit, mean to quit, intend to quit, and the next thing they know, they're, you know, putting out the cigarette that they've already smoked without even being aware they were doing it. So this is where we need awareness and mindfulness. So that in every moment, we are choosing. We don't become pawns in the hands of the chemistry of our brain. And in terms of the last aspect, this is where we really need to say to ourselves, what do I want in life? What do I want? I know where this path goes. But what about the other one? You know, we're given, the Katha Upanishad, we're given this beautiful option between the path of Shreyas and the path of Prayas. Path of temporary pleasures and the path of righteousness, integrity, purity. And of course, the path of prayas, of just pleasure after pleasure, decadence, leads to misery and leads to us being stuck, not just stuck in this lifetime, but stuck in lifetime after lifetime. And the path of shreyas leads us to liberation. But we have to choose. And so have a little bit of self-inquiry. When we talk about swadhyaya, it doesn't just mean reading the scriptures, it's swadhyaya, studying the self. Why am I doing this? Kya milte mujhko? And is it worth it? Make that decision. And then stay mindful and aware, so you don't find yourself running on autopilot. And it's definitely not easy in the beginning. But the beautiful thing about habits and sanskaras is, once you do it enough days in a row, it doesn't take years. It's a matter of weeks before new strong neural networks are laid. Weeks. Just make a commitment for weeks. I'm going to change. And then for another few weeks. Do it month by month. And then you'll see. Slowly, slowly, there won't even be the inclination to go there.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip, with the heel of a boot, shows the animal exactly who's the boss. don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
Liberation means freedom. Pooja Swamiji always says, it's not like you grow horns. Suddenly you can say, ah, this one's enlightened, that one's enlightened. Or you know, oh, now I'm enlightened. It's freedom. It's freedom from all of the stuff that keeps you stuck. So as long as you are living in jealousy, competition, rag and dvesh, likes, dislikes, yearnings, aversions. As long as you're living in a fear-based, stress-based, desire-based existence, as long as you are identified as the physical body, or as its role in society, or as in where it's been, its history, or its bank account, as long as you are thrown off center by anything ranging from the stock market, the weather, someone else's rude comments or actions. Those are all signs that you are not yet liberated. When you are free from all of that, that's what moksha is. That's what liberation is. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not connected. It's not a severing of ties. It's a severing of pain. There's a beautiful line in the Bhagavad Gita, actually, where Bhagavan Krishna says yoga is the severing of the union with pain. Now that's really interesting because normally we think of yoga as union. I mean, literally the word means to unite. But here he said yoga is actually severing the union with pain. Means all of that that causes us pain. Our egos, our false identifications, our sense of separateness, feeling separate from each other, separate from the divine, separate from creation, causes suffering. It's what breeds anger, lust, greed. So yoga, that ultimate union, is when we break that connection to pain. We stay connected, deeply connected, to the Creator, to creation, to ourself, to all. But we are free of that which causes suffering because we're free of the ignorance. So that would be how you know. But the benefit, the beautiful thing is it's not all or nothing. As we move, it's more like layers. So I think about it as layers being peeled back. Like petals of a flower opening, right? Petal by petal by petal. And we get free layer by layer by layer by layer. And as each layer gets peeled back, we are freer and freer. And then ultimately they all get peeled back.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin, with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
Soul purification. The soul is pure. The soul doesn't need to be purified. The soul is one with God. That is when we say we are the embodiments of the divine. When we say that we are God, I don't mean my elbow is God or my fingernail is God. Yes, they're all part of this beautiful creation, and so on some level they are God. But ultimately what we mean by that is the core of us, the soul, the essence, is one with God. And when we access our consciousness, we're able to know that and therefore experience that. That's when we talk about God consciousness or self-realization. It's to be aware of that soul. That we are not the body, we're not the drama, we are the soul. So the soul is already pure. It's the mind that has to be purified, because it's the mind that doesn't know we are the soul, that thinks we are the body, and then gets all wrapped up in the vasanas, in the desires, in rag and dvesh, our likes and dislikes. Right? In yoga, we speak about the kleshas, the five kleshas, the five afflictions that afflict us most. Avidya, ignorance, asmita, ego, rag, dvesh, likes, dislikes, and abhinivesh, this fear of death. This suffering, and avidya, of course, is the first, because all of them are in some way a form of avidya. Rag and dvesh, likes and dislikes, are because of avidya, lack of knowledge. When I don't know who I am, I'm going to have preferences. I'm going to have ego. I'm going to fear the disillusion of the physical body. So when the mind is drowning in avidya, agyan, lack of wisdom, lack of knowledge, then we suffer. And so we purify the mind through our meditation, through our seva, through our yoga, through chanting japa. These are all ways to purify the mind so that we can see the truth of who we are. But don't ever let anyone convince you your soul needs to be purified. Soul is already pure.
This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week. And I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio.